Let's go to Galatians 6. Verse 14, but God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me and I unto the world. Oh, Michelet. For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision availeth anything nor uncircumcision, but a new creature. Elsewhere it says, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. The word there for creature doesn't mean, or new, the new creature doesn't mean something that's improved. It means something totally new, totally different, that didn't exist before. So if any man is in Christ, he is a new thing. He's no longer what he was, either in type or in genus or any other classification. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature.
What? I was thinking, that's like a butterfly, you know, changes completely from a worm to a thing that flies. But a snake, still a snake. You know, crawls out of his skin, he's still a snake.
And as many as walk according to this rule, peace be on them, and mercy, and upon the Israel of God. The Israel of God is made up only of the new creature, the new creation. Now, what is the Israel of God then? The type, the foreshadowing of the Israel of God was the Israel after the flesh. And the following of that Israel after the flesh will give you an indication of what your journey is like for the new creature. The caterpillar and the butterfly analogy is a perfect one. Because that's the word for that process of a caterpillar becoming a butterfly is metamorphosis. Now that's the word that is used when it says we are changed, we are metamorphosed into a new thing. We're not this worm as we were before. We are a new creature. Except the problem is our mind still isn't renewed. Let's go to Galatians 3. Well, we start in what the one we've studied so often, Galatians 2:20. I am crucified with Christ. Now, crucified only has one meaning. It means you have died. You know, there is only one cross. And on that one cross is your death. In order that a new creature would be formed. But it can only be formed from your death. If any man be in Christ, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. The faith of the Son of God is the gift of faith of the Holy Spirit. To every man has been given the measure of faith. You have enough faith to start the process by believing in him, but unless that faith in him is transformed into faith of him, it's as though you are nothing. You're still carnal. You're still after the flesh.
Like flying around with the caterpillar brain still, and butterfly's wings.
Well, you don't even have... if you don't reckon yourself crucified, you can't even start the process. All you are is a caterpillar, a worm that wants to fly. But you can't get there from here. Everybody understand this?
When you made that comment about there's only one cross, I thought back of how there were probably 100,000 crucifixions, but we only know about the one.
Right. The one cross on which Christ as Son of Man, the entire race of humanity was crucified. Paul said in 2 Corinthians, if one died for all, then we're all dead. There is no new creation unless there is a death. Not a death in the things that you think are bad. That's not the enemies of God. That's just child's play. The death is to those things that you think are good. So the death is total. I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I that live, but Christ that liveth in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God. Now if you read the new translations, it screws it all up again because they make no differentiation between the faith in and the faith of. Make no the Lord's Prayer, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. They can't understand that, so they change the word. They make it, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven, which will never happen. There is nothing about you, good or bad, that can go into the kingdom. And you can't know this until you know that everything about you leads only to corruption. If you're still living trying to improve yourself or trying to fix yourself or trying to, you know, add something to you, then you're just this bug lying around trying to be something. Can't happen. Hey, can everybody conceive this?
It's like trying to be the best bug you can be. When you got a great butterfly.
I am crucified with Christ. I am dead. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God. You've left the faith in way behind you. Faith in says that I have faith in. I have faith in. Faith in is as common and ordinary as sand. But faith of is the rarest thing in the universe. I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. The love of God is in Christ. It's a positional thing. In the Greek language, it's called location of sphere. Location of the sphere of that activity. The love of God is exclusively in the Son. Oh, but God loves the human race. No, he doesn't. He loves His Son. Now, with this in mind, the idea of your death, you're living by His faith, then listen to what He says. I do not frustrate the grace of God. For if righteousness comes by the law, and the word law is nomos, it just means the way a thing works. If righteousness comes by cause and effect, if righteousness comes by learning principles, if righteousness comes by memorizing Scripture, if righteousness comes by trying to be a good boy or a good girl, if righteousness comes by having the right label or the right... It's meaningless. It frustrates the grace of God. I do not frustrate the grace of God, for if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. If you have ears to hear, the whole book of Galatians is about the gift of faith. But the gift of faith is not shared. It's not to have... The gift of faith is totally unique. It's totally different from the faith, the measure of faith that's been given to every man. The measure of faith, as I said, is as common as dirt. You have faith to sit in that chair. You have faith in gravity that you're not going to be caught up by some black hole. I love that commercial, by the way. Hewlett-Packard commercial for their work for the post office. It says neither snow nor whatever that... What's the post office model?
Yeah.
Sleet nor snow. And then he says, nor a large robot made out of washing machines, nor a black hole. And it shows everything else. But the only reason that you have to have faith in gravity, otherwise you would fly off the earth. It just blew me away when I was a kid when I found out that we were traveling 1,000 miles an hour. Just blew me. It just hurt my brain. We are spinning at the rate of 1,000 miles an hour.
The earth.
The earth.
Yeah, that's this way. But then we're also going something this way.
That's called elliptical retrograde motion. We're not. There's no elliptical retrograde, otherwise we'd be flying off.
I mean, we're going around and we're going around.
Oh, foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ has been evidently set forth, crucified among you? This only would I learn of you. Receive you the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Remember, we've talked about this so often. You start out isolated. And then what happens? There's the isolated you trying to do the best you can. Then what happens? Failure. It's happened 1,000 times in your life. Over and over and over. And then by sheer will or the strength of some cultural phenomena, you pick yourself up and you're going to be the heroic person and going to make it. And you try again and you fail and you fall flat on your ass. Or even if you succeed, the thing you succeed in you don't want. So it's everything is failure. 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 And then what happens? Well, maybe there is a God. So you accept Jesus as your personal Savior. Everything's okay for a minute, and then there's failure. Then you study harder. Things are right for a while, and then you fail. Then somebody teaches you how to pray. Things are all right for a while, and then there's failure. Then it says, well, you got to give some money. So you give some money, and then there's failure. And somebody says, well, you got to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. So you go and get charismatic and speaking tongues and everything is great for a while, and then there's failure. 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 If you doubt that, look at the evidence. Every man that has ever lived has failed in that he has died. But no, this time I'm going to get it right and do it right, and I'm going to succeed, and I'm going to be nice, and I'm going to have a nice family. For me, the first thing that happened when I was a believer, what I secretly thought was, now I can be a governor. In my plan, I was going to be governor. I wanted to be governor first before. And so now I can be governor. I can be governor for Jesus. And that lasted only about 3 days, but it's like Wade. Wade's going to be a musician for Jesus.
You're stressing this failure, and I got to say this week, I saw something earlier this week. I would have, for a long time, I would have measured success in how I was doing on my goal, like becoming a better piano player. But I saw earlier this week, in a whole other area of love and fellowship, I completely failed my roommate Steve, because he there was not enough relationship there to, so anyway, I saw a big failure there.
All of us failed.
What you even think is your measuring stick for.
Jennifer, notice that we make our measuring stick, as we get older, the measuring stick becomes smaller and smaller. It's like the measuring stick is inversely proportional to the amount of hair in your ears. You will.
You have hot flashes?
Burning up hot. You got nothing to do with hot.
Tell him. Okay, the point of it is, received you the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Now let's go to Romans 10. This is nowhere where I thought we were going.
The hearing of faith is kind of a weird phrase.
I know, it's great.
Like hearing in faith.
Hearing of faith.
Hearing that belongs to faith.
It's the hearing that apprehends. It's the faith that overcomes you by hearing the cross.
And hearing actually is the
hearing that leads to faith. Where are we going?
Romans 10. Verse 6. But the righteousness which is of faith speaketh on this wise. Say not in thine heart, say not even in your heart, who shall ascend into heaven? For that is to bring Christ down from above. Or who shall descend into the deep? That is to bring Christ up again from the dead. And the implication there, as if you could be saved by your own works. So say not even in your heart, who shall ascend into heaven? For that is to bring Christ down. Say not even in your heart, who shall descend into the deep? For that is to bring Christ up. But what saith faith? That the word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we speak. The word of faith which we speak is that which came to you by the hearing of faith, and it's that gift of the Spirit which is from the hearing of faith. Now, we're not talking about the faith to believe in. That's, as I said, that's common. But this is the hearing of faith. This is the word of faith which we preach. Now, this isn't the word of faith where we... I just love these guys. I heard the one of these word faith preachers preaching against Harry Potter, because Harry Potter was using words as sorcery. Well, what the hell do you think you're doing if you're saying that you're going to... Your word has power, and your word is going to... What you got to be careful. I won't confess illness because that's my word, and I'll get sick, or I won't. That just creates hypocrisy, but it's pure sorcery. It's 10,000 times worse than the sorcery of Harry Potter. This word of faith here, the word of faith, is the gift of faith. It's the faith of constancy, fidelity, truth, boldness, zeal. It's the faith that overcometh the world, even your faith. Well, what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart. Again, this is location of sphere in the Greek. Believe that in your heart he is raised from the dead. And if you confess the Lord Jesus, that means you speak the same thing, because of the gift of faith, your point of view has been flipped upside down. You no longer see life as this minuscule, separate being. You have now, by the gift of faith, see life as Christ or God, the Father, sees life. That is the word of faith. So if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and shall believe in thine heart, Jesus raised him, God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. In the last word that John and I wrote this next time, it's he is the path, he is the way, because he is my life. I'm no longer concerned with it. The Buddha said that you must be the path. Well, he was right. Not search for the path, not try to get it right, just be. Because the fullness of the Son has been resurrected in you. So, can you see that this word of faith that we preach has a humongous thing? For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Again, confession, homologio, you slowly but surely, you see that you hear the same thing that God hears. You see the same. What you hear is what you see. What you see is what you do. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For what saith the script? For the scripture saith, what? I can't even read. Whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jews or the Greeks, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah saith, Lord, who hath believed our report? So then faith, this word of faith, cometh by hearing. And hearing by the word of God. Now, this is the hearing by the logos of God. Faith. But I say, have they not heard? Yes, verily. The sound went into all the world, all the earth, and their words unto the ends of the world. But I say, did not Israel know? First Moses saith, I will provoke you to jealousy by them that are no people, and by a foolish nation will I anger you. But Isaiah is very bold and saith, I was found of them that sought me not. I was made manifest unto them that asked not after me. But to Israel he saith, all day long I have stretched forth my hand unto a disobedient and gainsaying people. Now I made a mistake, I'm sorry. In verse 17, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. The word there is not the logos. It's called rhema. The rhema of God is how you hear. Now the word rhema means, it means that the logos has been mixed with the speaker. And that speech then becomes the rhema of God. Do you understand me? So that you, in order for you to preach the cross, you have must have picked up the cross. In order for you to preach whatever, you must have experienced whatever it is that you have are preaching in order that it can be the rhema of God. Have you ever noticed when you're listening, you can hear and these same words sound like tinkling brass? You can bet somebody's trying to take you to a place that they have not visited. So what are we saying? We're saying that the crucifixion is the penultimate event that has ever occurred. And I can glory in nothing but that crucifixion, that cross. Because through that cross, your death, Christ is resurrected in you. But you cannot, and I emphasize, you cannot follow after him without a death. Because all you will do is use the mystery of God for your own self-awareness, self-improvement. Anybody have any response? Anybody learn anything? Hear anything?
Death is the only door. Any other way is like a thief and a robber trying to get in by some other means. The door is the door.
Amen.
What I hear is that to every man, every human being is given a measure of faith. That measure of faith is sufficient to get that human being to the end of himself. To the point of being humble and empty and able to receive the gift of faith.
Amen.
Not everybody gets to that point.
I want to show you something. Go to Colossians 1 real quick. Colossians chapter 1, starting verse 3. We give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love which you have to all the saints. For the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof you have heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel, which is come unto you as it is in all the world, and bringeth forth as it doth also in you since the day you heard of it. The word of the gospel had come, he's saying, that it was preached. It came in all the entire world. Now look, go over to verse 23. Of chapter 1. If you continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel which you have heard, and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister. The gospel has already been preached to every creature under heaven. As we go into the world, we make disciples. Because if you believe this, you will speak it. If you speak it, some will hear. But if you have a plan of evangelism, if you have a plan of how to get people saved, you know, some might be, that's not the point. The point is you have left the word of faith. Is that clear? The Great Commission, go you into all the world and preach the gospel or make disciples, is not a command. It's in the aorist tense in the Greek, and it says, as you go into the world, into your world, you will make disciples. So even the Great Commission is off your shoulders. Everything is on Him. If you don't believe, you won't speak. If you believe, you will speak. Anybody have any response?
I was thinking in terms of that, our mind doesn't comprehend how the word can be spread if you don't run over there and yap it yourself. But we sit around here and do what we do, and what we do is, you know, people know about this all over the world.
Yeah, but that's not preaching the gospel. The preaching of the gospel to every creature under heaven, every person under heaven, came on the day of Pentecost. Yeah, the effect that we have, or that any believer has, is incalculable.
We were just talking about, in our Bible study, I was telling the story about a story we're doing, that's a standard story. And there's this nursing student who's getting her master's degree, and she's from Uganda. And she was like an apprentice in a witch doctor kind of thing. She was special because she was a girl. Usually girls don't get to do that. She spent all these years perfecting these, you know, disciplines and everything to go along with how to hear the spirits and everything. One time she was just sitting there, and this voice came to her and said, "You must be born again." It was like this from nowhere, you know. And she was like, it didn't really sound like those spirits, but she didn't know what to do with it, and so she, you know, it's like, and then something else came along, you know, where there were some Christians in that village who were doing their thing, and she, you know, it was like, then there was, she heard what this guy was saying, and it confirmed
she already knew
thing that what she already knew. It was just, you know, so it's like God's in control.
The thing that will cause instantaneous death to you is to understand that you can't learn anything. I mean, that just, the fullness of the truth is already within you, and all preaching can do is act as a witness.
One of the things I saw in Morocco in the markets, there's guys that walk around, and you can see them from a long way away because of the way they dress. And if you're in part of that culture, you know the dress signifies. And they have great big goat skins that are filled with water, and they sell water in a place where people are thirsty. And that's what that reminds me of. If you're a believer, you're like, you're walking around in a world that's dying of thirst with water.
I'm sorry, I kind of lost it earlier. I started hurting real bad, and I can't. So I'm having trouble getting words out. So. Anyhow, anybody have any other response? Do you really believe the gospel has been preached to every creature? Do you really believe that the fullness of the truth is you already have it? And the reason that'll kill you is because it takes away any righteousness. We were talking about Stuart the other day. Stuart's a sorcerer's apprentice. But, I mean, that was me. I mean, I was totally consumed with magic. And I never heard of Harry Potter. Every kid is because they find out that their words are magic. The sound of mama can bring instant gratification. The sound of crying can bring somebody to them. And so you slowly but surely you learn sorcery. But that's okay. You'll grow out of it just like you grow out of playing with dolls. It's just a childish thing.
Oh, but it's so evil.
Not if your preachers are the one that are teaching it. I mean, it's all evil. Don't step on a crack or you'll break your mother's back.
That's true, though.
Yeah.
You have to spit three times. How many stupid little games did you play as a kid that still affect you?
Don't break a mirror.
Oh, yeah, don't walk under a ladder.
Don't open up a rug in the house.
Don't kill your neighbor and hide the body.
That was a confession. Harry did that.
Concrete.
Please, the thing that I would that you pray for is the gift of faith, that you might see the fullness. And it's a gift. It can't be directly proportional to your emptying of yourself through your own failure. All righty. Take it, big guy.